Now, Asia First on CNA 938.
We do know of that unfortunate tragedy involving the accident at Tampines. Well, we won't go into the details of that accident, but the events that led up to that fatal accident have been recorded on numerous dash cam videos. Now, dash cam videos, if you don't already know, are mini cameras that are set up inside of your car. Some have it just in the front. Some have it front and back to cover all bases. And the thing is, dash cam videos are one of those things that have become quite commonplace online
virtually
these days.
Virtually every car that I've been in, including, of course, the private hire cars, virtually every one of them have these cameras.
And it's for protection as well, so that you know that you don't end up in a he said, she said sort of situation. Yeah. There's no disputing what's seen on camera. But the videos themselves are very widely circulated, whether it is a reported, a media reported accident or not. Tons of these videos are circulated online. And that is also, you know, the accident at Tampines was not immune to this, of course, because a dashcam video from a car mechanic at the scene shows a white car being struck by a black vehicle moments before the crash.
Yes. So what happened was the mechanic posted the video online, right, in an apparent attempt to clear the white car driver's name.
Yeah.
But it resulted in a case of mistaken identity, and it turned him into the target of threats and abuse. Some of these threats also targeted his family, apparently.
Oh, that's not right.
So this incident, raised a very critical question. You know, can sharing dashcam footage online backfire and put you at risk?
Yeah.
Right. So we want to find out more about the implications of posting such content online, even though it was captured on your own dashcam camera. And if, you know, those who do so can be protected from potential online abuse and harm. To tell us more now is Gloria James Savetta, who is the head lawyer at GJC Law. Gloria, thank you so much for joining us on Asia First once again. You know, let's begin with legal obligations. If our dash cam camera happens to capture footage of an accident or some other kind of mishap or offense, are we obligated to share it with the police?
Hi. I would say you're not obligated to actively volunteer to provide the dashcam footage to the police, but your cooperation is encouraged. Where I'm coming from is, you know, there are sometimes you will notice that there will be a signboard at the side of the road where the police have asked for witnesses to come forward. It shows that the police is seeking for information. So I take it that, you know, you can treat this as your civic duty and to volunteer this footage to the police, not go online and try to post them and invite comments.
Is there any benefit at all if a person were to post such footage online?
There are occasions that it has benefited. If I'm not mistaken, there have been cases where police had relied on the dash cam footage and it helped in the investigation, and you could bring the offender to court and they can be convicted, especially if it's a serious crime that has been committed.
Mm. Gloria, you know, a lot of us, a lot of drivers rather, their instinct is to share the footage online on social media. There are platforms or social groups that basically track road accidents and incidents around Singapore. And the instinct is to share it there. Now, when we do that, should we be making the effort to protect the privacy, the identity of whoever appears in that video? I mean, these can include blurring the details like faces, clothing, license plates, especially considering the prevalence of online vigilantism.
Yeah, I would say that if you do wish to upload, you know, because you need to let the public know of such a behavior, you know, inconsiderate drivings from drivers, what you need to do is to exercise due care, be diligent and careful when posting, because, you know, you don't want to make a mistake in the wrong identification leading to, you know, a wrong person being convicted or brought for investigation. what you should do is think whether your actions is going to help or make the situation worse. Yeah, because you don't want to cause any unfair targeting. And if you need to upload, try to blur, you know, try to blur all the relevant things would be like the license plate and the person's faces and all that. Don't make anything that is can pinpoint directly the alleged road user, you know,
right.
from being identified.
Legally, though, if we don't do that, if we don't make the effort, because I imagine a lot of people wouldn't bother making the effort to do that, because, you know, to that person uploading, I mean, it's just another person on the street, an average Joe. I don't really know this person. So if we don't make that effort to protect the privacy, the identity of any individuals that appear in the footage, are we at legal risk?
I would say yes, yeah, because you know when you put up such footage, it's very difficult for you to hide your identity. Yeah, you're in a way inviting unnecessary comments. Mm. So I would say you're putting yourself to risk.
There's the issue of potential defamation liability.
Yes, you can even have an act in the Prevention of Harassment Act that is basically an application can be taken out. To say that I want to have such footage taken down. What if you are the one who put up that footage? You could also face a possible doxing against you because you have identified the wrong person and you have encouraged comments for actions to be taken.
Right, but if you're just putting up an unedited footage of an event without any kind of commentary or editorializing, it's a factual recording of something that happened. Would you still then be liable for potential defamation if the people view it and interpret it in a wrong or incorrect way?
Yeah, it depends. You see, because when you're talking about defamation, you're talking about fair comment. Yeah, so you know your footage clearly would not show that this is the full story because you're taking the footage from a point of view of one person, one driver. Yeah. So you might have to look at the whole thing in the full, the entire events that have taken place. If you have more than two or three footage, you've got to look at the whole footage.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the other side of the river, I should say, those submitting footage anonymously, we may not upload it ourselves. We may send it directly to the administrators of some of these social groups online, be it on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. How can we then protect our identity as the source, or would you discourage that altogether?
I would say if you are sending it to some other social platforms, you know, the forums and all that, you have to, when you submit your footage, probably put in, you know, a disclaimer to say that this is your viewpoint from wherever you are, because end of the day, you don't want it to be viewed as if that you are trying to defame that person or unnecessarily encourage doxing.
Couldn't we just, you know, make a long story short and take out the risk altogether? If you have such material and content, just give it straight to the police. Why post it online?
Exactly. That's exactly my sentiment.
Yeah. But is there a benefit, though? It can't all be bad to want to upload it online. I mean, could it not be seen as perhaps a warning to other drivers to be safer on the roads, a warning to pedestrians even on safe road usage? I mean, I'm looking at two sides of the same coin here.
I would say it brings awareness to any road users. Yeah. On the other hand, it also brings,
risk.
Your civic duty to mind because you're helping the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm.
The police can't be everywhere at all points.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm.
So unfortunately, as we've seen in the case of the accident in Tampines, mistaken identity can still occur. And I myself, as a driver, I monitor some of these social media groups that talk about the accident footage that's uploaded to these chat groups. what recourse do we have if we've been wrongly accused? What steps should we take?
I mean, you can write to the forum itself, you know, and tell them, okay, you know, I would like you to take down that footage. If you feel that no one is doing anything about that, you can lodge a police report. You can even get a lawyer to send a lawyer's letter to ask them to take down that publication. The last thing you need is filing a court application and getting an order to remove that publication.
And just to wrap up our conversation here, Gloria, how seriously should we take online threats? At what point should we report them? Because some, you know, different people have different tolerance levels when it comes to online vigilantism. So that's one question I have to ask. How seriously should we take online threats, but especially since a lot of them come from so-called keyboard warriors, right?
Exactly. It depends whether, you know, it crosses the threshold, whether is it a threat to life or limb. And if you feel seriously affected, you know, you feel that you're not able to walk out, you know, without being identified, then I would suggest that you're encouraged to file a police report because your safety comes first too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any more questions, Joe?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, even if it's not a threat to, an obvious threat to life or limb, it's still harassment.
It is.
I wonder if I could get your final thoughts here regarding the just the nature, the very nature of vigilantism here in Singapore, especially when it's quite prevalent, especially when it comes to situations like these where there's footage, there's visual evidence of the incident that can really stoke and incite negative emotions and reactions from the public. I mean, how do we regard vigilantism here in Singapore, legally speaking, at least?
You see, the thing is, what we look at is, you know, the last thing you need is to have trial by media, right? You have to always look at it as, you know, that's the law. Let the law do what they can do, right? That's why we have law to protect us. So don't take it upon yourself, you know, that you're doing the good for human, you know, that you have to do what you have to do. So that's how I feel.
All right. Gloria, we really do appreciate your thoughts on the matter. We are especially grateful for you giving us clarity, especially when it comes to how we should handle dash cam footage, both as an uploader and as a recipient or a viewer of that video. We thank you for your time once again, and thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too, Gloria. That's Gloria James Civetta, head lawyer at GJC Law.